Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hurts put Barkley to his left. Slot to the far side. A.J. Brown to the near side. Hurts, this time, to Barkley. Off the right side. Breaks the tackle. He's at the 15, the 10, the 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley!
He's
broken. 25 yards.
This is a really good job of blocking up front. They move the left side to the right side. That's Jordan Mailata. He pulls, and he gets a huge block. Saquon bounces outside of him. Then he gets to the second level, and he just runs through a would-be tackle.
And that put the game away. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio. Saquon does it again. 61 yards rushing in the fourth quarter. No back had more than 63 in a total game against the Ravens the entire season. Let's talk to the guy that was on that call yesterday and all the calls as the Eagles win their eighth straight. The voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese. Merrill, good morning.
Merrill.
Hi, this is an amazing season. This is an amazing season. You watch Saquon, and like the great backs, he'll pick up 4 yards on one carry and two on the next and then 7 yards. But you know it's not a matter of will he break one. It's when will he break one. And eventually, if the defense wears down, he just gashes them and goes 25 yards.
Yeah, and Merrill, they have an incredible combination of things going on right now that lead to these wins. They have an excellent defense. They don't turn the football over, and most of the credit there goes to the quarterback for protecting it. And then they have this great offensive line and run game. Merrill, it feels like every week the formula is pretty close to the same. It's very complementary, and it's right now, if they don't make mistakes, it's hard to imagine teams beating them because they're so good at all three phases.
Well, that's true. And the amazing thing is I went into this game expecting them to throw a lot because Baltimore had the second-ranked run defense in the NFL, and they didn't. They stuck with what they do best, and it worked once again, even against Baltimore.
It did. Merrill, let's talk about the impact of Vic Fangio here. I continue to be impressed at how all the young guys have come along, some of them rookies like Cooper and Quinyon and Jalix Hunt now, but even some of these second-year guys and third-year guys, the Kobe Dean, Nolan Smith, who has a bigger role now and is playing well, obviously Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis. It feels like Vic Fangio has found a way to get all these guys to play better and better and better.
You know, he is so good. He is so bright. He knows exactly what he's doing. I said to him this summer, after watching the way he was moving the players around and inserting Zach Bond, I said, "You're doing a really great job." And he looked at me and he said, "Tell me that in November." So I said to him yesterday in the hotel, even though it was December, I said, "Well, you told me I could tell you in November. Okay, you're doing a good job." And without blinking, he said, "Tell me again in January." That's Vic. He never pats himself on the back. He never looks for credit. He just keeps working away, and he really is a master.
He is. And yesterday, Merrill, one of the things that we don't talk much about, but it seemed to make a big difference, was the special teams. Braden Mann pinning the Ravens down and then the Eagles flipping the field. That when you know things are going well, Merrill, when we're highlighting that phase of the game too, not just the run game, not just the O-line, not just the defense, but Merrill, I thought the special teams yesterday gave them an edge against a team that usually is very good, the Baltimore Ravens on special teams, but the better special teams was the Eagles yesterday.
Well, absolutely, especially with Baltimore's kicker, Justin Tucker, forgetting how to kick. I mean, I don't know what's happened to him. He was Mr. Automatic. He was the best kicker in football, longest field goal ever with 66 yards. And this year he's missed 8 field goals and 2 extra points. That's absolutely incredible to believe.
It's wild. I mean, yesterday, yeah. Hugh, I think he missed as many in that game yesterday as he missed in some seasons back in his prime. So
it's
crazy to see. And Merrill, it feels like the Eagles are gone from a team early in the season, let's go to September, where they made a lot of mistakes, whether it be coaching decisions, drops, fumbles, interceptions. And now very few, Merrill. I know they had a couple fumbles yesterday they were able to pick up, including the tush push for the touchdown. But it's very rare that they're making mistakes. They've turned into a very smart team, which I think is a testament to the coaching staff and Nick Sirianni.
What is? They're doing a great job. But again, going back to September, and we talked about this before, you should never look at the September games as indicative of a long-range future for a team. They are merely an extension of the preseason, where the regulars do not play during the preseason. And when you think about it, keeping them healthy going into the season, because it's a marathon, not a sprint, it's a smart thing to do, but you cannot get carried away with the September games. They're just really warm-ups. Then once you get into October, you see who is really strong and who is deficient.
And that's what they are right now. 8 straight victories, 10-2, and a real chance to push Detroit for that number one overall seed. Merrill, thank you for hopping on. Enjoy the week, and we'll chat before this game against Carolina coming up on Sunday. Thank you, Merrill.
Just let me tell you one thing. I hear people looking at the schedule, and they say, boy, the toughest team they have ahead of them is Pittsburgh in a couple of weeks, or maybe Washington later in the season. You know what? The most important game is this week against Carolina. If you ignore somebody, if you start to look past somebody, if you start to think, oh, all we have to do is show up, then you're going to be hit hard. You have to look at Carolina as the toughest team you're going to play, and go at it.
Merrill, I agree with you. And Carolina's actually played better. Bryce Young has come around, and they should have won that game in overtime yesterday. Not as much of a pushover as they were last year. Merrill
got over Tyrese Maxey taking his girl.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Merrill, we appreciate you hopping on. We'll talk soon.
Okay, see you guys.
There he goes, Merrill Reese there with the don't overlook the Carolina take there from Merrill Reese.
He's right, though.
They have played better.
Yes, he finally got over the fence.
Eagles are 12.5-point favorites.
They are. I mean, they're going to win the game, but, you know, you don't want to overlook them. You don't want to overlook anybody at this point. As well as you're playing, you need to keep this going. You should never get complacent, because that's when you tend to, you know, have issues or, you know, don't believe your press clippings.
Well, I think one of the reasons I'm not worried about that is they're in a fight for this one seed, right? If the Eagles were clearly the one seed, or they had no chance at the one seed, you know, it's the NFL. Weird weeks happen. I don't think it's going to happen to the Eagles. Not right now. I mean, the prize is clear. Like, they have a chance to overtake Detroit and get the bye and all the games here in Philadelphia in the postseason.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. Now, could they lose a game? Yeah, I mean, of course, it's football. But I'd be shocked if we walk in on a Monday and we're like, they no-showed this one, or we overlook someone. I don't think that's going to happen. Hughes Panthers?
They're my Panthers.
They were your Panthers last year.
No, I'm talking about when they were playing the Cowboys.
Yeah, that was last year.
I was trying to get them to beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, but that team was bad. This team is just – they were awful last year. They're just regular bad now. Let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494.
Levels to bad.
There is level. Of course there's levels to bad, right?
It is. I'm just saying. It's just funny.
There's regular bad. There's like 10 of those every year.
It's like, ooh, you stink bad.
And then there's ugly bad. And I don't think Carolina's ugly bad anymore. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Kyle, Joe, and the crew, what's going on? Good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. What's going on is the Eagles keep winning every week.
Hey, well, look, you know, hey, I talked to y'all a couple of times, even when some people were plant-based about this game.
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
Someone else in here.
What are you trying to say? I was plant-based.
You were totally plant-based.
Hey, man, listen, my job
is to be plant-based.
Is to analyze stuff.
And sometimes that means you're plant-based.
That is my job.
You were plant-based about this defense. Be real. Come on now.
I was not plant-based.
Your analysis was that the defense doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I see y'all ain't going to let that one die. I see y'all. Y'all still going to talk about that. Ain't nobody talking about that today.
Wait a second. We have people saying this is the best defense we've seen in this town in 30 years.
And that's fine. They can say that. I'm okay with that.
I wonder what take people think is worse. Hughes' defense, a luxury take, or Joe's Saquon's not a difference maker take.
How did I catch a straight?
Both are very relevant right now. You guys had brutal takes going into the season.
No, it's not. It's not. What I did is not relevant.
It's a terrible take.
I had that take simmered for 2 years.
And it went bad in the pot.
It boiled over.
Bruce, give us a second to sort out some family business here. I got to say, It's so much fun watching Saquon now that we buried my take. Like I feel almost like a
You're unshackled.
I am unshackled.
Oh, so what you trying to get? What you trying to be a leader? You trying to get me to follow your suit?
Well,
I know I don't have to.
You do.
Your take was horrible, Joe.
No, no. I actually think more people in the moment agreed with my take. No one thought yours made any sense ever.
No, your take made no sense. My take survived the test of time.
It did not.
Talk to Bruce. Is he let? He gone?
You still want to handle the truth. I would say most NFL fans believed running backs didn't make that much of a difference. And now
that take you had was horrible.
Most agreed. Now
my take was spot on.
So you're deflecting. This is a filibuster by Hugh. We know my take was bad. We buried it in the ground.
My take was spot on for two of them things, for two solid years.
No, it was not. The Chiefs won on defense last year. The Eagles are winning on defense now.
They won because Patrick Mahomes pulled the ball down and made a play at
me. Oh, my goodness. Bruce in D.C. Go ahead, Bruce. This guy refuses to admit he's lost.
Y'all gonna leave me alone.
No, it's all good. Hey, but look, let me just say this because I've been a Sirianni hater, mm-hmm. and I'm not apologizing about that. I ain't apologizing a damn thing about hating on Sirianni, even though he's doing a good job and he's getting better. And I give credit where credit is due. Like for example. I'm starting to see some improvement with him was when he made the decision to take back the penalty or enforce the penalty that led to a touchdown in the previous game. That was strategy. And so he's getting better there. He's getting better at his post conference. Seems like he's maturing. Now, there's still a couple more tests coming up for him, but he's getting better at his job, but I'm not apologizing.
Stick to your gun.
No, you don't have to apologize. We can all acknowledge what we're seeing. He's doing a good job. They're playing really well. They've rallied behind his messaging, and Bruce, we appreciate it. And I do think he's gotten better in the games recently. I mean, like that, and that was my biggest point of contention. Like what he says at the podium is what it is. Like that, this is who he is.
But I think for Coach Sirianni, all of it mattered because it looked like he was spiraling out of control.
It did. But I was more concerned about the in-game stuff. Mm-hmm. And then and early in the season, I thought he had some just blunders. I mean, I just thought he made mistakes. He was too aggressive. I give him credit for recognizing he has the best defense in the league, or at least one of the two or three best defense in the league. Lean on it. They'll do the job. You don't have to go for every fourth down. You don't have to go for every two-point conversion. You don't have to go for every, you know, just conservative work sometimes. And when you have this kind of defense, and as we've established here, defense is a necessity. As we've established on this show, it's the best Eagles defense in 30 years, better than Hugh's best defenses. I mean, these things have been established the last 2 hours.
I don't understand how it becomes like, it feels like it's being a little personal.
It is. Of course it is.
I applaud the way this defense is playing. I applaud the way
it's like backhand. It's backhand.
But everything, like, you can't tell me that, and this is why I'm comfortable in my defense as a luxury take.
Oh, my God.
Because there were times early in the season, now I'm going to do what y'all do. I'm going to go back in the way back machine.
Stop.
And I'm going to talk about, there were times where conversations were being had about this defense where we didn't want them to go out on the field first.
This defense is carrying this football
team. We didn't want them to go out on the field first. And every time there was in a situation where they had to defend the game to try to win the game, we weren't comfortable.
This is a disaster.
What a difference a month makes.
A month? They've been doing this for almost 3 months.
A month?
Hugh, they haven't lost since September.
I am comfortable.
It's December.
In this take. You're delusional. Your take should have died, Joe, because it was horrible.
Yours probably died before it, Hugh.
We just did you a favor by burying Joe's first. They're playing well now, but it ain't dying.
They're not playing well now. They've been playing the best
playing
of well. Anyone
they're
for
the
two
best
months.
Defense in football right now, man.
I don't know how this got on me, but...
Because you're being stubborn.
I'm not being stubborn.
You got to let it go.
I ain't letting it go.
I'm not being stubborn, and I'm not letting it go. It's a huge contradiction.
First of all, I wasn't on nothing. I was just sitting here, and we were talking about Joe's take, and then all of a sudden, y'all started talking about mine.
Was buried. Don't speak ill of the dead. You still think your take is alive.
Yeah, Joe's free. You're in denial.
I'm enjoying life
now. Truth will set you free, Hugh.
You know what?
They are playing well, though.
See, even the way you say it.
What do you mean? What do you want me to
they're
say?
They're playing great.
What do you want me to say?
It's the best defense in the league.
That's what you want me to say?
What?
They are the best defense in the league right now.
And they're a necessity.
And it's the reason that the Eagles are 10-2. It's the biggest reason they're 10-2.
Of course it is.
They are the reason why the Eagles are having success.
You are.
What do you mean? I just said what you said.
No, you didn't say the reason they're 10-2.
Yes, I did. Say what I said.
I did say what you said. I didn't say it verbatim, but I said the same thing.
That's called
Why
being
are we
stubborn.
Getting caught up in semantics?
Because
when it comes
it's
to
funny.
This.
All right, 215-592-9494. Malik in Philly's up. What's up, Malik?
Yeah, how you doing? I'm one of Nick Sirianni's biggest haters as far as the way as our football team has been coached the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I feel like he should have had. I feel like there's no excuse when you pick up Saquon Barkley. There's no excuse for error at all. You should have realized when he signed that paper for them millions of dollars. When he sit down in front of you. We should have known it's Super Bowl or bust. There's no room for error. And I want to say, Jalen Carter, man, I agree. He looked like Aaron Donald out here, man.
Well, he's Malik, the thing about Carter is he disrupts every play.
He's disruptive,
even
man.
When he's not making the play. It's
he's
like he's just
disruptive.
He's destroying plays. And, yeah. And Malik, I'm just so impressed that he's doing it on a – like last year we saw some of this, but it was like, you know, once every other drive. Now it's like every drive.
Consistent basis.
Every drive, every play.
Yeah, yep.
It's like if they don't double-team him, leave him one-on-one, it is an Aaron Donald all over in Philadelphia.
Well, it is. I mean, he's. I also see a lot of Warren Sapp because the size. I mean, Donald was and Malik. We appreciate it. Malik. Donald was such a unique player because he was so quick and fast.
And he was a smaller D tackle. He's probably like he wasn't 300 pounds.
No.
He's probably like 270, 265. Something. He was smaller.
Yeah, Carter looks like Sapp to me. Like,
yeah, Carter's a grown. Carter's a man and a half.
Yep.
It's a man and a half.
That Sirianni take was annoying, though. I mean, what does he want Sirianni to do with Saquon Barkley? He's leading the league in rushing and could possibly win the MVP. Does he want more from Saquon? Like, I don't understand.
He's mad it took them four weeks to realize.
We can't be complaining about Saquon's usage right now, are we?
Yes.
I am not. No, I'm not.
Okay, well, I just...
That's what it sounded like.
And I mean, that's basically what he's doing.
You guys have now got me to defend Sirianni twice in 2 hours of the show. I gave him credit. Then someone wanted me to apologize, which I'm not going to do, but I will give him a lot of credit. I'm also going to get... I'll give him an out on this. The Eagles, as a franchise, want to throw the football. They paid two receivers $200 million this offseason. Is anyone surprised they tried to throw the ball out to start the season?
No.
I'm not. Now... At some point, you can give credit to whoever you want, right? Whether it be Sirianni for being receptive, the offensive line for knocking on his door and saying, hey, Nick, like, what the heck are we doing here? Whatever. Whatever the reason is, they changed it, and it's worked.
Yeah.
And he deserves credit for that. But I'm not mad in retrospect they tried to throw it in September. The GM paid the quarterback and two receivers like $500 million to throw the ball. At some point, they realized, hey... Maybe this is the better strategy for this season. I'm okay with that.
And then, not only that, you got to think that early in the season, everybody was mad about the too high safety look because it eliminated the big plays.
Yeah.
And fortunate enough for us, and I guess the Detroit Lions for that matter, we have running backs and the Baltimore Ravens that can force people to play in the box and leave you with man to man coverage on the outside.
Sure.
But the running game has been the bread and butter. For the teams that are at the top for the most part,
it feels
all season
like
long.
We're dancing around the reality here that Nick Sirianni's influence in this offense is actually benefiting this team this year. Kellen Moore is a throw-the-ball guy.
Well, he has been the past, and he was early this season. Yeah, that's what
like,
it
historically,
was.
Kellen Moore is a guy that wants to throw the ball all the time.
I think we're just looking for reasons to nitpick
like
what happened.
Nick Sirianni.
Also, it's ridiculous,
It also
honestly.
Happened organically. Like, the defense got... It was... Think back to the first 4 weeks. This will help Hugh's point. The defense wasn't that good, right? So you can't just run the ball all day if your defense is giving up 30 points. You have to throw more. It's all worked out. One thing I will say that helped them, and I didn't realize it was going to help them when the schedule came out, I think we're all lucky that bye was where it was because that's when they made the changes. What if the bye was in week 8? I mean, they might have just kept going down the same path, and they might have been 500 through 8 weeks instead of through 4 weeks. I mean, the bye really it helped them figure things out. Black Gritty's up. What's up, Black Gritty?
Guys, how we doing? This is a great conversation y'all having. Can a defensive coach get player coach of the year? Can Vic get coach? Has that ever happened?
I don't think so, but we might start the push for that because this guy's incredible.
I mean, because it's either him or Stoutland. I'm trying to give it to you. You know what I mean? Y'all can have all this Nick conversation all you want to. I'm just happy Nick's not getting in the way. I'm happy that he's keeping his emotions in check. You know, he shaved his head. He's less emotional. I mean, I'm happy with that. But I mean. Going out there right now, Hugh.
Yes.
You going to shave that beard? You going to green that beard? Anything going to happen to you, brother. It's a wrap.
Oh, yeah.
12 points. Shut them down in the second half. I don't care about no garbage side touchdown. shut down the Ravens? And, I mean, people talk about, well, the kicker missed 7 points. We missed 7 points. We told Nick to take the points. We missed 7 points. We still won the game. So I don't want to hear nothing about kickers messing you over. You have to overcome and get these George W's. And that's what we're doing. I mean, it's just leaning on people late in the game. Jalen Carter's getting held on every other play, and it's embarrassing. He can't get one holding call. He got held by two dudes yesterday three times. I mean, I'm not Duffy out here doing the all-21, but, I mean, if you just watch it, he's getting held, and he's still creating havoc. I mean, my goodness, Vic got the team turned around. I know, like, they started off slow, but when the guys he said there were dogs in offseason, when he was like, this guy can't play, this guy looks like he can play, and when he let the linebacker go, Ball might be the best middle linebacker in the league right now. Like, I can't name nobody better.
Well, every week, the game ends, you're like, man, he played well. And you look at the stats, Black Rating, it's like 13 tackles, yeah, four tackles balling. For loss. He's everywhere. Howie may – you're right. I mean, he may have signed an all-pro to a one-year, $1 million contract. And ridiculous.
And please, Howie, sign him. I know he don't like giving no money, but look, just give him here for 2-3 years at least. Give him something. But it's – you.
Yes.
Get that bus ready. He found it down. You get on that bus. I'm so excited, y'all. Have a great week,
Go Birds. Go Birds, Black Rudy, we appreciate it. So, yeah, two things that we have to really start doing. We have to the logistics on this bus ride. We're at the point now where we'd be negligent if we didn't start, like, actually lining everything up here and figuring out how we're going to do this. The second thing is we have to do is start the countdown week by week, because I believe it's 71 or less, 71 or fewer points the rest of the season, Hugh, and that beard.
Yeah, somebody wrote that down.
Yeah, 71.
Yeah. I ain't worried about that.
You're not worried?
Nah.
Hugh, they get to play Drew Locke or Tommy DeVito, Cooper Rush. I know Bryce Young's played better, but let's not go overboard here. They're still not very good. You're cooked, man.
Nah, not really.
Are you not worried about it, or are you just accepting your fate?
I'm not worried. I'm ready for the win. I'm shooting for the win, but I'm ready for the loss.
Okay.
That's how I live. You know what I mean? I'm comfortable. Whatever happens, I'm okay with it.
Okay. I'm just saying that. Just prepare the green. Now, how are you going to do it?
You know what? Yeah. I haven't figured out what I'm going to do yet, because it's still kind of, I need to trim it up.
Yep.
Before I do that, I'm going to have to figure out, you know, I've got to find a barber. Find me one that's going to trim it up for me. And
are you going to dye it yourself or have a barber do
it? Well, I don't know, because it just all, I don't know if it comes down to that.
If,
I don't know which color.
If. Well, you're deciding between midnight green or Kelly green.
Because I'm starting to get suggestions. People are like, oh, it's leprechauns and all this other stuff. And St. Patty's Day, keep it for St. Patty's Day. And I'm like,
yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah, I think so.
So it's two greens. I think most people, when they assume that I'm going to dye my beard, I think most people are thinking Kelly green.
Yeah.
Because that's the most, I think, because midnight green will look like, it'll probably look more like Trey's beard, like I put Beijing in. Like Trey Thomas that puts Beijing in his beard. Trey Thomas, number 72, that plays with Eagles, that dyes his beard all the time. It's going to look like his beard. So I'm debating on whether or not shots fired. I'm debating on whether or not I'm going to go with the Kelly green or, you know, the midnight green.
I want whatever will stand out more in the crowd. Like that. That's my prerogative on this, so I would take the Kelly green. 215-592-9494. All right, all your phone calls to the win. Was that the most impressive win of the Sirianni era? I'm comfortable saying it. Last year, they got lucky to get out of Kansas City with a win. Valdes-Scantling dropped the ball. Clearly, the best win of his era was the 49ers championship game, but I mean, come on. They were in a four-string quarterback for most of the game. Like, was that really impressive? It was important. It was impactful. It got them to the Super Bowl. But most impressive was yesterday. They were a road underdog against a team putting up greatest show on turf numbers, and they went down there
and handled their business.
With a minute to go, they're up 24-12. They dominated them.
I'm just saying.
24-12.
I mean, I get it.
And then garbage time points.
I get it, but you keep emphasizing garbage time.
It was. Two weeks in a row, they went on the road.
No, they played extremely well.
They played great.
Yes, they have. And they've
led by defense. Led by defense.
I'm like, dang, yeah, that's... Man, they're flying around. They're playing with enthusiasm. They don't even look tired.
They don't.
They don't look tired. That's the thing that got me.
All right, on the other side, we will take all your phone calls. 215-592-9494 for your reaction to the win and a big, huge breakdown on some of the biggest defensive plays in the game, including an awesome moment by Cooper DeJean taking down Derrick Henry. That's all coming up. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Third down and 11. Back goes Jackson one more time. He's being chased. He fires. He completes it, but way short of the first down as the catch is made by Henry, and he is just bounced down by Cooper DeJean.
What a great tackle by Cooper DeJean. You know, this ball is caught by Derrick Henry. He is that dude. But Cooper DeJean comes up, wraps him up, lifts him up, and puts him on his back. You rarely see that.
Textbook tackle.
Take a shot.
By the exciting white Cooper DeJean. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas.
The exciting white.
Joe Gillette. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. All right, Hugh. It is time. The people are waiting here. I mean, we've been talking about this defense all day. We've been talking about this defense for 2 months now. But I think it's time for you to kind of take a deep dive. What you saw yesterday, the best of the Eagles' defense. A little Big Hugh breakdown.
You know, first of all, I want to give a shout-out to Rhea Hughes, man, because she's like one of the best text partners to have when you're watching the game, because she goes, her range of emotions go from super, super excited to really, really frustrated. To like this, she just goes, when the Eagles are playing well, she just goes silent.
True fan. That's a true fan to me.
But to me, the biggest thing about this defense, they were able to put pressure on the quarterback without having Brandon Graham out there. And I think the guy that makes this team go is no doubt is Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter pushes the pocket so much that he allows those ends to get up the field and rush the way that they're rushing. You know, because the one thing you never want to be is behind a guy like
Lamar
Jackson. When he's quarterbacking because he's so fast. But the fact that Jalen Carter's out there and he was forcing him to stay back in the pocket and not step up because he was getting double and triple team, that allowed for those ends to put pressure on the quarterback. And the good thing about it, Lamar, there were some times where he could have pulled the ball down and ran, but he was trying to get the receivers involved in the game, so they benefited tremendously from that. But you got to give a shout-out to Jalen Carter, man, in the way that he's playing up front. Jalen Hunt, those other guys – BG was sorely missed yesterday, but the way that Jalen Carter's playing, if he can continue to play that all season long, they're going to be okay as far as the front four are concerned.
So I was impressed yesterday with two guys in particular, Hugh. One was Jalen Hunt getting more playing time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he set the edge on the run well, even though, like, remember when they drafted him, he's a former safety, right? Then they developed into a pass rusher when he transferred in college. Like, he's not a big dude.
No.
But I thought he set the edge well. And Nolan Smith, Hugh, is quietly... But
he's getting off the ball well,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I think it's getting louder now. I mean, the beginning of the season, when they stunk in the first 4 weeks, we're like, can he even play? And now you see it. He's setting the edge. I thought he chopped down Henry a couple times those runs, and he has 4.5 sacks now.
Yeah, man. And, you know, another thing, as I'm looking at the film, these guys are doing a good job of, you know, playing with their hands. They need to – if one thing I would say about Jalen Hunt is he needs to learn how to get off the blocks a lot quicker. But as far as, like, stabbing – the tackling, creating separation, he's doing a good job of that. Now he has to learn how to slip off of those blocks. He has some long arms, man, and that works to his benefit, especially when you're out there edge rushing the way that you are. Same thing with Nolan Smith. He's doing a good job of using his hands and keeping those bigger guys off his body. It's clear right now that they're afraid of their speed off the corner. And when you have the big fella in the middle that is on watching film putting pressure on the quarterback, man, it's one of those things where – you know, if they keep playing like this, they're going to be okay. And shout out to another, Jordan Davis. I know he's been getting a tough way to go these last couple of weeks. But he was out there. He's played well as well. They're playing decent up front. They're playing real well up front.
Can I give you a comp for this Eagles team, Hugh? As we talk through this, right, like, what do we have? We have a great defense right now. We have a tremendous running game.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a quarterback that can make plays with his legs, but is more in the game manager mold in terms of, like, what they're asking him to do. You know who they remind me of? Hugh, this Eagles team reminds me of the Seahawks that won the Super Bowl with Russell Wilson.
Ooh,
Legion of Boom defense.
The Legion of Boom.
Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. And Russell was not asked to carry the load, right? But he had to make some plays, and he made plays with his legs. He made plays with his arms. His arm, like, he was a big part of it. But you looked at those games early on, Russell, he would throw the ball 20 times, right? He wasn't asked to do a lot.
Yeah.
They remind me of those Seahawks teams like 2012, 2013 that won the Super Bowl, got back to another one. They're kind of moving towards that's their identity.
And there's nothing wrong with that, man. I know that there's a lot of people that have a lot of trepidation about Jalen. And it's funny because you talk about, can Jalen bring you back? Well, technically, I know it was only 9 points, but he did bring you back and got you in the game yesterday.
Yeah, it was. No, I feel like we got to see it like 10 or 14 for it to feel
no,
that
I hear,
way.
No, I hear but, you, but I mean, no, a comeback did. Is a comeback.
Well, it's first you quarter. Know. It was first quarter.
I mean, but it's still a comeback. They were down. And it looked
sure.
like it was trending in the wrong direction. And they finally got it going. So, yeah, it was a little bit of that, too.
They did. So, here's the one thing we're missing, though.
I just
made the comp. They remind me of the 2013 Seahawks, right? Russell, game manager, running game, defense. We need a name for this defense. We throw this out like a month ago. Nothing came of it. I just feel like a defense this good should have a name. You all right over there?
No, I'm just trying to think. What you going to call it?
A necessity?
A luxury?
Well, no one would go with that.
Honestly, like, what if they embraced the luxury thing as like a mocking thing for Hugh, and they're like, look how luxurious we are.
So, I don't know if
lifestyles
they are
lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Remember during training camp, we had a lot of defensive players in the trailer with us, right? And
yeah.
I asked all of them about this. Bond, we had Rodgers, Bond, I think Jalex Hunt early on in the run. I mean, they know what you said about them, Hugh. I mean, like, they get it.
They do. And they've proved me wrong.
Ooh.
Wow.
So, I feel like they owe me an apology.
What?
That's enough. Let's go back to the phone lines here. I mean, that is the biggest spin I've ever seen.
I'm the reason why they playing the way they
playing. And this is why we can't come up with a nickname, because I try.
This is why we can't have nice things.
That's right.
And I would like if they embraced the luxury thing, and we're almost like, yeah.
So almost like turning around on Hugh, like if we're in luxury?
Yeah.
This is what a luxury looks like?
They've been playing with a chip on their shoulder the whole time.
They have, and they've come together in an amazing way.
They owe me.
You know what? I agree.
They're getting us.
I can get down with that.
They're getting us a trip to New Orleans.
Yeah, and they owe me that trip. They owe me. I need at least a hoodie out of the deal.
You want clothes?
Yes.
The guy that walked in here in shorts today wants more free clothes.
I'm not hard to please.
All right, 215.
And ain't nothing wrong with
592-9494 for Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Cooper. Man, he went head on with Derrick Henry, and he put Derrick Henry big ass on his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Man, physicality.
That's what
Sirianni's been preaching, and that's what the Philadelphia Eagles have been coming with. And I heard you guys talking about Sirianni and him not getting involved in the games the last couple of weeks, and he hasn't. But shout out to these coordinators also. Shout out to Vic Fangio for whatever special ingredient he's unlocked on his defense, he's unlocked it. And Kellen Moore, Kyle took my point earlier. We all know Kellen Moore for being a throwing. He likes to throw the ball all over the field.
Yep.
He's turned into a running coordinator. He's running the ball, and if you're not getting the home run, we all know sooner or later Saquon Barkley is going to pop that cherry, man. He's going to pop it, and he's going to be in the end zone. So I feel like this is an impressive win for the fact that this was the number one offense and they had one of the top rushing attacks in the NFL. And we shut them down to 12 points except for that garbage time touchdown at the end of the game.
Well, really, Terrence, it's 2 weeks in a row. I mean, because the Rams got a garbage time score at the end, too. I mean, it's 2 weeks in a row where they've held good – I mean, like legitimately big-time quarterbacks, right? A Super Bowl champion in Matt Stafford, a two-time MVP in Lamar.
Yep.
They held him to like, 12, 13, 14 points until a minute to go in the game.
Yeah, they've been playing well.
And that's why I say this is impressive, because it's not like we've been beating mediocre teams. We have been beating good football teams and great quarterbacks. And like the sky's the limit is for this football team. I say this right now. From watching Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving, the way they play, I feel like we can go in there and we can get these guys the business, because right now we're flying on all cylinders. Our defense, I don't know what Sirianni's doing, but I feel like on that bye week, this guy has evaluated his whole team. He has evaluated his coaching and it's showing and his whole team's potential. And I feel like, man, he's bounding down.
We're headed there, Terrence. Terrence, good phone call. Let's listen to Saquon after the game talking about what Terrence was alluding to, which is Kellen Moore sticking with the run. Saquon obviously appreciative of his coordinator sticking with him. Well, he gave a shout out there, Hugh, to Kellen Moore for sticking with the run, and they have. I mean, the first three quarters of some of these games, Saquon's numbers aren't overwhelming. I mean, you look at, like, last week he had the 70-yarder after halftime, so that boosted up his numbers. But I feel like there's been two or three games this year where you look at the box score, and if you're kind of watching and looking at the same time, you're like, it's been okay. It's been fine, right? Like, nothing overwhelming, no great moments. But then it's like if you keep going with it, eventually that dam breaks.
It's like chopping a tree down, man. I mean, and that's what the run is. It was funny because during the course of the game, I heard Coach Coward talking about how you need to come out in the second half and you need to wear teams down with the running game. Yep. And it was one team that got worn down. I was a little concerned because coming out of that half, when the Ravens had the ball, they had the ball for the whole third quarter.
I was worried we were going to get worn down.
And it was like, man, but those guys were flying around. They were juiced it up. They were playing fast, man. And that I had a friend text me, he said, damn, Ravens had the ball for the whole third quarter, and they're still losing. And that was the thing that really jumped out to me is, like, this defense right now, they're flying all over the place. They're not getting tired. And they just look spry.
They're young.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. And they just realized, damn, they're – bunch of young, like young defense.
All right, so, let me voice the first concern I think any of us have had on the show today about everything moving forward, right? Because they look great. They look like the best team.
Well, I can't believe this.
I waited an hour and 40 minutes. They look like the best team in the league.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I'm asking the question. Without BG, that means more snaps, a lot more for Nolan, a lot more for Jalix.
Would they be better off?
Well, they'll be better in time. I just want, are we concerned about a wall with all these young guys, especially the rookies? Cooper, like, think about where we are at. We're at in the season. Season with college football, they're about to be done, right? Mm-hmm. I know they have a playoff now, but the regular season of college football ended this past weekend. So, like, Jalix Hunt's season last year ended now. I'm sure Cooper DeJean was in a championship game or a bowl game, but whatever, it ended around this time. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Quinyon Mitchell. We're now hoping for two more months of football, and we don't even know if we're going to have a bye. Any concern over some of these young guys, specifically the rookies, hitting a little wall here, Hugh?
You know what? Not really.
Okay. Because Carter did last year.
I think, for what it's worth. Did that really count? I think
sure it did.
Last year. No, when I think about last year, there was a lot going on that we didn't know about.
Oh, well, that's true.
I think that the fun factor has really played a huge factor in this. I know because you're talking about the young guys. I don't think Cooper's going to get one because he missed the first couple of games of the season.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, that helps.
And I think that they're doing a great job, honestly, of keeping these young guys fresh. It's a different animal when you're winning, man. And it's a different animal when you're getting all this adulation. I'm pretty sure when Coop goes in the store now, everybody knows who he is. Yeah. I mean, it's just different.
Well, after that
vibe is different, man. And this team fit. I guess I'm assuming that they feel like they're a team destined to do some great things. So I don't think that whole fatigue thing is going to play a huge factor into any of this.
Okay, I hope so.
I don't see it either. Like, Jalen Carter played 99% of the snaps again. Like, he missed one. And then that's after 2 weeks in a row playing 100% of the snaps.
It's
like,
wild.
I think he's got his pro, like, his NFL body now. He said the whole offseason being with a pro team. Mm. Same with Nolan Smith. And plus, if you think about it, like, these edge guys that are now getting opportunities, more opportunities because of Brandon Graham and Bryce Huff being out, they're almost starting their season late, too. So I don't know if I see a wall with Jalix Hunt, who's just now.
I think you worry about the guys in the secondary, though.
Yeah, well, but I don't, though, because that's not like that much of a physically demanding position. Like, Quinyon Mitchell just has to keep running fast.
Yeah, Quinyon played the most snaps of all these guys.
Yeah, but like, but Carter and Davis last year,
they wore down.
Yeah, they wore down, but that's a position where you're susceptible to wear down. Like, corner, you don't really see that, especially from a guy that young.
I was holding my breath when Quinyon went in the medical tent when he took the knee off the helmet.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like, oh, no, what are we going to do there? One thing before we go any further, right back to your phone calls. I got the math here on Saquon. Mm-hmm. So you need 606 yards, I guess 607, to top Eric Dickerson. 607. That's about 121 per game the rest of the season to top Dickerson. Now, he only got
pretty good at math.
What did he get last year? What did he get yesterday? 103? 106?
Yeah, 106. Yeah, something like that.
Because he lost like five at the end.
Yeah.
But he was over 100 against the number two rushing defense. Now we get some tomato cans.
Yeah, 107.
We get tomato cans in terms of stopping the run. I mean, they should run
tomato cans.
They should run all over the Panthers this week. This could be a 175 for Saquon if they push it. This could be a big one.
I'm pretty sure those guys up front want it to happen for him, though, man. I mean, that's what I see. I think that they're taking a lot of pride. Be like, yo, let's run the ball. Get this record for him.
The other thing from yesterday that I picked up, Romo said something on the broadcast. You know how we've joked that Cooper DeJean's the new Hugh? Because the Coop, like the Hugh, right?
Yeah.
Hugh, you've told the story before that in the Bucs championship game that Gruden took you off the field by going with those, what did you call it, like elephant package?
Yeah, the elephant package.
Romo said yesterday the Ravens were going with double tight end to keep Cooper off the field. Because, you know, when there's two tight ends, it's not a nickel package, right? So Cooper's not probably on the field as much. It's pretty wild that an offense is thinking, how can we get Cooper DeJean off the
respect
field?
Respect this early in his career. That's pretty impressive.
Not incredible. Throwing at Quinyon, trying to get Cooper off the field.
How about that GM that picks these guys? That Howie Roseman's pretty darn good, is he not?
Yeah, we did get a nickname submission.
What do we got?
The Baby Boomers.
baby boomers. I kind of like it.
It's fun.
The baby boomers.
Well, they're young, but they're bringing the boom. Right. Hugh.
It's not better than exciting whites.
Well, but they're not all whites.
There's very few whites, actually.
But I just like, you know what I mean?
I mean, honestly, like, Jalen Carter's got the big baby face.
He does. The baby boomers.
Y'all really trying to make this thing stick? Can we be a little bit more creative?
Can you give us a better submission?
It's the best one
before you start ripping
so
the other one?
Yeah.
All right, then let me think about it.
You do some thinking. We'll talk to Mike in Norristown. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what do you know? What do you say?
Hey, Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I don't know if you guys remember, man. I called the day after they beat Cleveland, and I said that they were going to go on a 10-game win streak.
Is that what you said?
I don't remember that specifically, but I believe you, Mike.
But yeah, you weren't the only one to say that. But yeah,
no,
we got
hold
you.
On a second. Yeah, he was.
He was the only one to say
How
that they were going to win 10 wins.
How many people thought they were going to win 10 games in a row?
I mean,
if you asked enough people.
I've heard a few people say that. Like, to be honest, somebody called in last week and said the same thing that they were going to call
it. Yeah, but I said it a month ago after they barely beat Cleveland. I still have faith, man. I was one of the few.
Okay.
Well, I mean, good on you. I mean, you were a believer through when the coach was shaving his head and they barely beat the Browns. Mike, you could see the future that I could not.
Absolutely. The way it looks, it's going to come down to us in Detroit. Detroit's playing good ball, too. I'm excited, man. I think we got a really good shot at going. As long as they stay healthy, I think that they got a really good shot.
They have a great chance. I mean, it feels like 50-50, right? I think Green Bay's also really good in the NFC, and they will be a challenge for the Eagles or the Lions. But I'd be surprised if it's not Eagles-Lions to go to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And they can win it. I think that they're better than Kansas City. I think they can beat Buffalo. I think Buffalo is going to beat Kansas City this year. I'm predicting Eagles, Bills, Super Bowl. We win it all, baby.
Could you imagine Eagles and Bills fans in New Orleans for a week? I mean, would be wild.
We wouldn't be the only ones on the bus. Because they probably ride a bus down.
Well, they're not involved in our bus. They're not.
No, I'm just saying, but we'll see them on the highway. We probably see them at Bucky's.
We'll probably
stop at Bucky's and be like, yo.
The Eagles and Bills fans get along for the week? Feels like two fan bases.
It'll probably be some fights just popping off.
Yeah, but I think there's a kind of a kinship between the fan bases.
They
strike me as similar.
I'm gonna probably get in trouble.
Go ahead.
But the Buffalo Bill fans to me seem like they live in trailer parks a little bit. They seem like they drive Winnebagoes. Cause they the only fan base I know, man, jumping off of Winnebago.
So what are you saying? They go harder.
Breaking tables.
They go harder.
No, they're a little hillbillyish. They're hillbillies.
Okay.
They remind me of hillbillies.
I get you. I mean, the table thing is unique.
It's a lot.
It's unique.
Cause they have a man. You ain't see Harry Douglas? They had Harry Douglas jumping off a table.
Well, everyone that comes
up
there's
nice
got to go
off outfit. Man, ain't nobody doing that. I wish somebody would ask me to jump off a Winnebago onto a table to break it.
You wouldn't do it?
Who does? Hells no.
I would
break
do it.
My hip.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Come on.
No, Joe, I don't believe that.
I would do it.
I hope. You know what?
I'm not going to do it, but if we were up there,
I'm saying now I hope to sweet baby Jesus that when we go, if it's the Buffalo Bills and us, I'll pay good money to see you do that with the Bills fan, with the Bills mafia. Jump off and do
it. We're going to do it
suplex.
In New Orleans?
Yes.
Let's just throw it on top of the pile.
Yeah, you might as well. We're doing everything else. I bet you won't do it. I bet you if the Bills go, you won't do it.
All right, I'll add this. If the Eagles play the Bills in New Orleans, we'll take a bus down there. You will have a green beard, and I'll jump off a Winnebago and break through a table.
Okay.
In. Deal.
Man, please let this happen.
Yeah.
Because I pay good. The green beard is worth it. To see you,
I agree. This is much more looking forward to seeing this now.
The green beard is worth it if you do that.
It's been a very long time, and I am just physically a different person than I was. But I used to do crazy stuff. Like I used to wrestle.
You're proud of that.
Yeah, I was never on a. I didn't wrestle for real, like real wrestling. But
but you used to backyard wrestle.
Yeah, we used to backyard wrestle. I used to jump off the roof.
Used to put staples in your forehead?
No, we didn't quite go
like
that far. But I did stupid stuff. I'd probably break now. I'm old now compared to when I was a teenager.
You're not going to ask your wife for permission. You're just going to go out there. You're just gonna throw
We're going to be taking
there.
Joe back in a sling. New Orleans, man.
The goal is to come back alive. No one ever says goal is to come back in one piece.
His wife's going to be mad at me.
Well, this was kind of
this is your fault.
You let us here.
Why did you do this?
You let us here.
Oh, yeah. Boy, man, please let this happen. This is going to be an awesome time.
So our last caller mentioned Eagles-Bills. I think you can make a real case right now. The two best teams in the NFL are in the NFC. That if we get an Eagles-Lions championship game, it could actually be the Super Bowl. I think the NFC is going to win the Super Bowl, Hugh. I think the win, if it's Eagles or it's Detroit, or I think it's going to be one of those two teams. But I think you can make a real case that the two best teams in the whole sport right now are playing in the NFC.
And they're on a collision course.
They are.
And it's only right that they play each other at this point. Because I'm pretty sure you can't tell me that there wasn't a whole lot of Detroit Lions fans and players that were watching that game yesterday and were like, man, they look like they're a whole problem.
Of course.
Well,
and they're rooting against the Eagles because they want an easier chance at the one seed.
Yeah, they do, but they're looking at it now. I mean, because it feels like that's the collision course that's going to happen.
It reminds me of 2 years ago. I felt that the Eagles and Niners were on a collision course 2 years ago, and then they ended up obviously playing in the NFC Championship game. 215-592-9494. That is Saeed Hoppert. Here's what we got going on. Howard Eskin will join us coming up in just a few minutes. His take on the game yesterday, the schedule to go. How important is the number one seed? And I'm sure Howard will work in a lot of credit for Nick Sirianni, who has done a good job. And I thought he coached a really, really good football game yesterday. Your phone calls on the win. Was that the best win of the Nick Sirianni era? And right now, it feels like we're watching the best team in the NFL. We'll talk about all that later in the show. We will get to some around the NFL stuff for week 13. And we'll break down the schedules moving forward. Eagles, Lions, the path to a one seed and the entire NFC postseason here in Philadelphia. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Thanksgiving might be over, but the season of gatherings isn't done yet. Make your next holiday meal unforgettable with Hatfield. That's right. Say it with me. Put pork on your fork. Hatfield's delicious marinated pork tenderloins, bacon. Ooh, y'all know how much I love bacon. Ham and ham steaks are the perfect centerpiece for any holiday meal. Need inspiration? Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes this season. Go beyond tradition and find your flavor.
Let's start with you guys.